At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Good one. I pressed record and then the woodpecker came in right on cue. I was just checking out a different bird and I got a little video and I was looking at the birds, how it was flying, its flight pattern kind of, and then I remembered reading about the woodpecker. The woodpecker flies kind of differently, has these like undulating flight patterns where they like flap their wings and go up and then they drop down a little bit and then rise even higher and then drop down a little bit. They fly how they fly, not how all the other birds fly. Very DIY. And the same is for us. We're all different anyway. We all have our own flight patterns anyway. And sometimes we tend to just pretend that we have other people's and just follow along, right? I do think, though, if you listen to your natural flight patterns, you will find your flock. So what have I been doing here? Okay, so things that I've talked about on this podcast before of like do-it-yourself holidays. I grew up with some traditional holidays. They have a special place in my heart. Those days are gone. And they didn't serve me well in many, many ways. And I get to create a life that serves me well and that makes sense for me and that feels good for me. And so for holidays, we do exactly what we want. Isn't that fun? And we start traditions if we want to. I made up my own ritual with the rocks that I gave away at class. It was so ritualistic. It was beautiful to just let myself follow life and follow my compass. And yeah, I was drawn to collect rocks and put them in piles and put them together and put them out in the sun and then rinse them in rainwater and set them out to dry in a special place. And I've decided the rocks will continue. I've got them in a special box and keeping all that good juju in there. I took them to class last night. The very next day, after I passed those special rocks out, I got an email from one of the gals who took my class. And it was a picture. She said, "You're probably going to recognize the rock on the left." And I did. That was the rock she had chosen from last night's class, the last class. And it's on her altar and it's a part of her morning devotion. Whoa. What a gift. That was such a gift. Of course, I said, "Thank you. Thanks for sending me soaring right in the morning." And I told her, I said, "I just cried about the rocks on my podcast." I also mentioned that my friend popped over, made a popover visit because of the rocks. Because I was led and guided with the rocks, and I did it. And I talked about it, and my friend was guided with her rocks, and she did it. I also got a really special message from a really special person. And she mentioned, among other things, worry stone, a worry stone. I remember worry stones. Hold the stone, and boy, did I need a worry stone growing up. And I do remember having one. You hold the stone, and then typically with your thumb, you rub the groove, There's a groove, a smooth spot. You rub it, and that's your worry stone. You put your worries in it. A natural fidget, if you will. When I think worry stone, I think about emotions, and specifically the emotional scale. Because I realized if I viewed the emotional scale as like a ruler, but perhaps it's made of stone, and wherever we rub our thumb the most, a groove forms. I was depressed at the bottom of that ladder for a really long time, so I rubbed a pretty deep groove in those low-vibing emotions. And then I always felt like I was falling in the same hole. Like everything be fine, and then there I am in the same hole. How'd I fall in this hole? I didn't even think I was on the street again. You know, here I am. Falling in the figurative hole. Especially once I learned to get angry to get out of that hole, I realized I was climbing an emotional ladder. There's all kinds of emotions. And they do have a vibe to them. They do feel better or worse than other emotions. And so if we were able to really go through each emotion and decide, oh, is this better or worse than this one? Does this feel higher or lower vibing? Does this bring me ease when I'm at this place, or does this bring me back down? You could then form a ladder. So if you're depressed, getting angry feels better, right? When you're angry, being disappointed feels better. When you're disappointed, being bored feels better. And when you're bored, I always say, when you're bored, I mean, come on, you can choose. You can choose how you want to feel. What hill do you want to roll down? You're bored. You decide. Get to boredom, right? The halfway point. And so when I heard, you know, worry stone, it brings me back. Boy, I love rocks. Boy, I love worry stones. Yes, I did have one, and I needed a fistful. And I really do. I think about the emotional scale. And what's funny, I made a joke a few months ago about, well, now my emotional scale looks like a Mancala board. You know, that game with the stones, four in each hole, if you will. And Mancala, I think, is how you say it. Finn, my son, is autistic, and he helps me experience so many different emotions. I thought I was emotionally flexible before. I am becoming extremely flexible, emotion-wise. I'm feeling all these emotions in between that I had forgotten about. I'm really, like I said, I'm kind of making a Mancala board, which feels better than knowing I have this hole at the bottom of the emotional scale that I don't want to get too close to because I can slip into it. And I know how to get out now. You know, I know how to get mad. And if getting mad doesn't feel good, then that's good. That means I'm not depressed. I'm not way at the bottom. If anger is underneath me, I'm not going to bother with it. But if it's my way out, if it feels good, yes, get angry and keep moving. When I decided to care about how I feel, and I became happier, I really did. I found joy. I found happiness, and I found peace within myself, for myself, and I rubbed that emotional ladder stone. I rubbed my Mancala board. I put a groove. I put a groove in joy. I found it, and I milked it, and I still do. So if you think about that, when you're experiencing your emotions, you could say, oh, have I put a pretty deep groove here to slip on into this? Because I want to be able to slip into joy. And boy, do I. My humor groove is bottomless. I slip right into there anytime. But thank you to my children, especially Finn right now, helping me experience every single one of my emotions, sometimes on the same day. I just heard a hummingbird. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing a hummingbird. but I heard you. So on the subject of, like, you know, doing your own life, doing it how you want to do it. A few people have asked me for my logo for dance. I don't have a logo. And they're like, yes, you do. And I'm like, no, I don't. I write my website down in big letters, dance. Under that, Amanda. Under that, .com. And then when I was making a sticker, I had some extra lines. And so I put, it's free. And that was my logo. So I don't have a traditional logo. Thank God I don't have a traditional logo. That will be my cover art today. What I'm about to tell you, I have my first logo. I have my, and if you come to class, you know that I'm constantly yelling out, we got to put that on a t-shirt. Oh, we got to put that on a t-shirt. The things that come out of my mouth. And some of them are like, oops, we shouldn't put that on a t-shirt. And so one of my students, one of my friends, one of the awesome people who gathers with us and spreads joy came in yesterday with her Dance with Amanda logo. It's awesome. And I can't wait to see it on a t-shirt. I'm going to put it up on my website. It'll be today's cover art. And I love it. I love it. It's great to see what others see. You know, like I was telling someone, one of my other favorites, right? Dancer, friend, human. I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great if, like, if the kids had teachers who taught. And nothing against any teacher at all. And what I mean is, like, how life teaches us, and we don't, sometimes we write things down. But, you know, really having a class where there isn't any writing things down, you're really learning and being taught. And when I look at the logo, it's a picture of me. I can see the dance bun. I can see the big eyes and the big smile. And I could see angel wings, because I'm talking about our shoulders often in class. I'm reminding everyone that, you know, the shoulders, they're nowhere near our ears. They're actually gliding. Our shoulders are gliding on our rib cage back there. They're on our backs, on our ribs. And we feel them gliding around, and that's exactly where our angel wings would sprout. And how great is it that I've taught that? Because obviously it's right there. It's right there in the drawing. And what else have I taught? How to grow roots. Get ready for your wings to come in and feel your roots. You are supported here. Grow your roots. Feel them go into the earth. The earth rises to your feet. I've got my bare feet on bare soil right now, and I'm rooted. And I'm even taking my tailbone, and if I had a tail, I would kind of tuck it between my legs, and that is headed down between my heels to grow even more roots. I'm rooted and held here. And my arms, in class, we raise them up, and we grow roots. Right out of our palms, our hands turn into roots, and we connect with the heavens. We pull down the heavens. We're completely held from above and below, and we get to release our limbs from our trunks, and we can wring out our trunks like washcloths, stretch our branches, and let our roots dig in, grab hold, and remind us how supported we are. Thank you very much, Marissa. I love it. I love you. Yesterday I said to someone that I've really flipped the script. I used to say, I don't have friends, and I don't go anywhere, and I don't do anything. That was pretty much true. It wasn't ever really true, but it felt pretty true in the moment. Now, if I went to say that, my truth punk meter would be like, I have friends. I have friends, and we support each other, and we give gifts to each other, and we create for each other, and wow, we teach each other, and we learn from each other. Back when I used to say I didn't have any friends, I was pretty much committed to a miserable life. Words don't describe, they create, right? I'm going to tell you a story about how good things don't tend to fit in the miserable life, but all you have to do is change the way you're looking at things. When I was a child, we had family camp. And I didn't know where it was when I was a kid, but I know you had to get in the car and travel for what felt like a couple hours. I don't think it was quite that long, but it felt like that. Felt like I was going, you know, into a strange land, a land that, you know, that was away from mine, into the country, into the woods, up to the lake. And I think I have memories from camp. And I certainly say that I remember camp because, well, I've been there, and there's pictures and stories. And I'm not sure. Maybe I have actual memories too. I certainly have memories from being an adult at camp. But there were years and years in between where I didn't feel like I had a family camp. So what happened was, as a kid, when my parents were married, we'd go up to camp. And then my parents got divorced, and I probably didn't go up to camp very much. And then the family got in like a fight, you know, the adults. And I think the guy, you know, who bought the land and made the camp for the family passed away, left it to his brother, and the rest of the siblings, I think, had a thing. And the rest of those siblings happened to be on my side of the family. And so no more camp. No more camp. I don't remember how old I was, maybe, I don't know, 20, 21, that I realized I don't think anybody's mad at me. I think camp might still be there. And I went and had a visit, you know, as a young adult, and it was kind of cool. It was weird. It was kind of cool. And then years later, when I met Will and we had Olive, I knew that we had a family camp and, well, what are we doing? And let's go and come on. And so, boom, just like that, camp. Olive has family camp. She has known camp. And yeah, it does take a couple hours or less, a little, to get there. And so we haven't been in a couple years. Being in the car physically for me was no good, and still isn't all that much fun. So I don't like long car rides, and neither does Finn. So it really works out. Really works out that we paired up in this lifetime at this time. And I know we'll get back to camp, but I know it's there, and I've already experienced it as an adult and remembered, and my kids have experienced it. And, you know, when I think about it, having a family camp didn't fit in a miserable life. How could I be miserable and have nothing, and all my family is dead, and I have no friends, and I'm poor? Yeah, having a family camp doesn't really go with that story. So it didn't. I didn't see it. I didn't think about it. It didn't exist. Till I pulled my head out of my butt a little bit and I wanted to feel better. Oh, well, what are the things around that would make me feel better? Let me look around. Let me think. Let me lead with love. Let me not be afraid. Let me make my decisions and ask my questions based on love, not fear. And boom. Yeah, I have friends. I have a family camp. Pretty cool. When I went to camp, for the first time as an adult, I noticed I'd been in some pain. And when I got to camp, my pain was like gone, way better. I could do all these things at camp and I was like, you know, hobbling around at home. And here I am at camp and I'm like, what is this phenomenon? Like, wow, what's going on? I was a new person in a new story. I didn't have my old issues. Have you experienced this? I experience this at the beach often, not every time, but oftentimes. When I give that gift of that beautiful life to myself, my body comes along and it's like, oh, we're living this new life. Roger that. Let's kill all this pain and give her that like euphoric buzz. Thanks. The thing is it doesn't always work. I can't always go to the beach or always go to camp. I think my brain is super smart, just like yours. And like the jig is up. They know. The brain knows what's going on. But it does work. It still does work every now and again because I catch myself in this whole new life where I'm happy and I'm not depressed and I have friends. I always had friends. I just didn't want to admit it or I was afraid to explore it or get close with them. You know, I always talk about like, what are your dreams? And just tell people about them. And take one step and just believe in your dreams and have a vision of the future, please. Old Orchard Beach, vision of my future. I thought I could never afford it. I could never get back here. Hooking up with a few friends from the past, I thought, oh, that won't happen. They've moved on with their lives, or they don't like me because I never RSVP'd to their wedding. I was a mess. I didn't understand RSVPs. I was like, oh my gosh. Total teenage wreck. But then I let myself feel guilty about that later in life, thinking, why don't I have a good relationship with this person? I thought, oh crap, it's probably because I was a jerk and I didn't go to their wedding. And wow, if they only knew that I was such a mess, they didn't want me anywhere. Yeah, as I'm getting older, I'm like, that's all garbage. And reach out to your people. And so I'm connected and totally in loving friendships with all the people I mentioned and, you know, even more. And I continue to do that. You know, I thought the other day of someone who's like, oh, they don't want to be around me or this, that, and the other. And I reached out, you know, they're like, what are you doing Friday? So remember that we are making up the stories that we tell. We are directing the movies that are in our heads. Go after your dreams. Don't let the fear creep in and ruin it. Just follow love. What is the perspective of love in this? And then take that perspective and move on. And even if you're feeling good, it can always get better, right? I talk about my toilet paper. That's like the perfect example. Life can always get better. My toilet paper makes me so happy. Unwrapping it, seeing it in the bathroom, seeing the box when it arrives, all the funny things that the company puts on it. My toilet paper makes me so happy. So like if your toilet paper doesn't make you happy, I highly encourage you to find a different toilet paper. You're missing out. You're missing out. I don't want you to miss out. I want you to soar. You hear the sirens? They're like, don't miss out. You guys, don't miss out. You can create any life you want. You can turn anything on its head and look at it a different way. Yep, the crow's like, yes, listen to her. The sirens are going. Hey, actually, can we all just dip into our hearts? And let's think about where these sirens are going. We don't know, but let's bend time and space. Everyone put their hands on their heart. And let's breathe peace into the situation. And let's wish well wishes for our fellow humans, okay? I like that the dog joined in with us. My hand is still on my heart. I can still hear the sirens, and I am still shining my light that way. I'm going to end with this story. There was a car accident, and the person involved in the car accident left her body and was like, holy crap. And she was aware of all the thoughts of the people in the traffic line behind the accident. And most of them were saying, oh, great. This is all I need. What's going on up there? Ugh, idiots. I'm going to be late. And then way back in the line, she saw a beam of light coming from a car. And the moment she was curious about the beam of light, she was there, just instantly transported. Because, you know, she ain't in her body no more. So she's, the minute she's curious, instantly transported, and she sees a woman praying for her. Since she was out of her body, she just grabbed that license plate number and she looked her up after she recovered enough from her accident. Found her and thanked her. So thank you for sending the light that we just sent together to whatever mishap those sirens are going to. Thoughts become things. Follow your heart. Put your hand right on it. Smile at your heart. And your heart will smile at you. So know that you have that beam of light. Send it around today, will you? You can send it my way. All right, I'm going to send mine, yours, and your... You, okay, I'm going to send my light to you, and you send your light to me, and my hand is on my heart. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. I love you.